It's Thought Leader Thursday. Rod Murray is here from Associated Bank. We'll jump right in. Rod, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, and congratulations. We should start off the Thought Leader conversation this morning by talking about your appointment at Associated Bank.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, big shoes to fill for Brooke Hansen, who's been a contributor here on WGN. Retired at the end of the year, so appointed the Chicago Market President, effective January 1.
Yeah, when you walked in this morning, I asked you if we should call you Mr. President or if we could still just call you Rod. So
yeah, the day job doesn't change, so yeah. Please stick with the Rod.
Well, it's good to see you, and lots going on in the banking world, and we came across this wonderful article that I thought we'd start with today about what's coming in 2018 and some of the issues and questions that banking will have to deal with. And I suppose the first thing everybody's talking about is the tax bill. I know Associated Bank has made some internal decisions regarding the tax bill and pay raises and bonuses, but there's other questions that will be answered by this in 2018.
Absolutely. The Associated, like a lot of the banks and a lot of the other large companies, did take action to raise the minimum wage and pay a bonus to the hourly employees, which is great, and we're seeing a lot of companies do that. So then what does it mean for the further effects? What does it mean for our companies? What does it mean then for us as consumers as that money flows through? There's a lot of hope and questions. You're probably going to see some ebbs and flows, differing opinions on it, Steve, but in the short term, does that bring a lot of cash to companies and corporations that are going to use that cash to pay down balances, debt? But then will that also spark some spending, and will it also then spark, you know, money into all of our individual pockets that, you know, furthers the GDP?
From the banking industry itself, this could produce profits. I've seen double-digit profits potentially coming this year.
Sure. I mean, and coupled with, you know, the banks, we're going to see, like all companies, we're going to see the benefits of that. But it's also coupled with, you know, the potential for a slowdown in maybe some regulations. They won't go away, but do your costings go away? There also are, and we'll probably get to it, but there's talk of further rate increases. So all of those things combined certainly has a rosy outlook in the near term for banks and other large corps.
And the rate increases we could see, I think, two or three this year. And the idea, too, that maybe our savings accounts will start paying us a little interest finally.
Right. We'll see how that plays out. You know, the banking sector has held pretty tight. It was so low for so long that as the rates have gone up, you haven't seen the movement by your large banks or regional banks or even small banks, you know, to do the savings account increases at the same pace. But at some point, you have a tipping point, and you know the yield curve will dictate something happens there, and the savings rates will eventually, you know, get pushed up.
What was loan growth like in 2017, and what are the estimations for it this year?
So 2017, you know, every article you read and certainly everybody you talk to in the banking sector, that's described as benign or tepid, slow, some of the lowest levels in a long time. And the outlook on the short term is that might continue in the very near term, just because of what we talked about with maybe some companies having some more cash on hand. You know, there's an outlook that as in the future here, that it will spur some economic development, some capital expenditure spending, some hirings, some growth. You know, so the further outlook is a little bit rosier than the near term. But you know, to your point, 2017 was a pretty slow year, and you had to find your pockets to grow.
We keep hearing with a discussion of the tax bill, now tax law, that companies will be bringing money back from overseas. Presumably, they're going to be putting that money in banks, right?
Absolutely. They'll be putting it in the banks, but then we hope that, frankly, they go and spend it, you know, to continue to spur the economy. And while that's great for the banks to have it sitting there in deposit accounts, you know, the idea is that money can come back and be put back into play to do what it's intended to do. And if it doesn't, then frankly, it, you know, isn't working like they would have intended it to work.
One of the other issues I saw in this article was about credit quality. And by all accounts, last year, credit quality was probably the best ever. How will that continue this year?
It's in the near term, it's, you know, to use that same word, it's still kind of benign, but to your point and to the article that you're referencing, it was about as low as it could get in terms of loan losses, credit issues. So you have to think about that in the grander scheme, that it can't probably get any better, so it can only get a little bit worse. But that's not necessarily, you know, a bad sign or a bad piece of the economy. There are going to be certain pockets that are going to be hit more than others, you know, certain sectors that you have to watch, you know. But overall, you know, again, the descriptions are that benign for the near term. You know, there's a further outlook that people are watching what are credit card defaults, credit card late payments happening right now, auto late payments happening. You know, so those are some indicators that the economists and certainly, you know, the financial executives are watching. But then on the flip side of things, you know, there's positive outlooks on home values, you know, which can spur home equity loan growth and can spur some other growth there. So it's probably going to get a little bit worse, but that's only because it couldn't get any better.
One of the things you mentioned in there was sort of this feeling of optimism, and you hope that some of the at least corporate money goes back into the community for projects and stuff. But also, we're seeing from a consumer level, I think the report was just a few days ago, that people are taking out more credit card debt, taking on more because, again, that's a sign that they feel confident that they can take that out and start spending in the economy.
Right. And money spurs money. So money spent is money earned by someone else. And as long as the debt loads and the debt levels can, you know, aren't taken above and beyond what people can repay, whether that's individuals or small businesses or companies, you know, all of those effects will have, you know, a positive effect on the economy. It's just making sure that we don't get above our over our skis in those sectors, making sure that, you know, and we don't even know, Steve, what could happen in the world and the economy, and none of us know that. But, you know, as long as it's a calm and a normal manner, then it should spur things on.
Do you have nightmares as a head in the banking industry, and what are they?
So I wouldn't say nightmares. You know, at this point, I'm 30 years in, so I don't have any more nightmares. But certainly, you know, things that every bank is thinking about is what happens on the tech space, what happens in the cyberspace. You know, that's probably the biggest, you know, the two biggest concerns that the banks have, and that our primary focus. We always are going to focus on revenue and growth. But the things that you think about all the time that can keep you up at night are those two sectors.
Yeah. The reason I ask you that is because the article that I wanted to talk about, they actually say this is banking's worst nightmare, and that is the Amazon effect on banking. And people seem to be thinking that Amazon's about ready to get in the banking business.
Right. There are a lot of varying opinions on that. And, you know, depending on what you read, who you believe, it would be foolish to think that they're not going to put their toe in somehow. They kind of already are. You know, they're issuing, you know, they certainly have their Amazon Cash. You know, they're putting their toe into the water there. But I think that what they'll do is, this is just my opinion, is they have such an outstanding, you know, data analytics and customer capture and look through to the client. You know, they're going to want to control the financial ecosystem. So when we talk about Amazon becoming a bank, could they? Sure. I mean, they have so much, you know, they're such a behemoth that they can do what they want to do. But I don't know how it'll happen and when it'll happen. You know, there's obviously the regulations. You still have political pressures. I mean, Amazon is all about revenue and revenue growth, so they're going to find whatever they can do to chase the revenue dollars.
I think when people talk about Amazon, they always think about PayPal. I know when I do, because that's generally how I pay for a lot of stuff on Amazon, is with PayPal. Do you think that would be a likely target for Amazon if they were looking to maybe buy something new in banking?
It could be. I mean, there's speculation that they might just do a small bank acquisition to dip their toe in the water, but a PayPal certainly could be a way, you know, to kind of see how the end-to-end payment process, does that benefit them, and does that bring assets into them and bring revenue? You know, I think that while PayPal is an option, I think that maybe it's more of the how can they lend money to, and they're doing that in some small business sectors. If you're a vendor of theirs, how can they lend money? How can they drive revenue there more than deposit gathering at this point? Again, that's my opinion, but who knows where they'll go.
And I think Jeff Bezos, who's in charge of Amazon, he's now the richest guy in the world, so he could loan money personally.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. I saw a picture the other day of him in his office, his tiny little office with a Amazon.com banner on there, and that was about all he had. So.
Yeah, and the rocket, the model rocket in the back, where he's probably got all of his cash stuffed in that. But, you know, I ask you about Amazon, but, you know, there's others out there, too, that have already sort of taken over this fintech space. Google, Square, others that are doing this. Yeah, Apple is out there as well. Are those just as much of a threat, do you think, as Amazon is?
I mean, I think that, you know, the word is the word threat. They're all out there and potentially are going to get into the space. I don't think that they're going to replace the traditional banks. You know, could they augment it? But I don't think they want to go out there and just be deposit gatherers. But they could do it, could be there. But it's going to be a long road with the regulations. You got to remember that, you know, Walmart tried to do this from 98 to 07 unsuccessfully. It doesn't mean it can't happen and that, that things won't change with the new regime. But all of them are probably going to try. And who's the first one in and then who will follow them right after?
As we're speaking here, the Consumer Electronics Show is underway in Las Vegas, and everything is about the Amazon Voice Assistant and the Google Voice Assistant. And I saw a video of a banking demonstration where somebody had their new glasses, and you can ask the Amazon Assistant, hey, what's my bank? You know, I don't want to give the direction because I don't want ours to turn on here, but what's my balance? Or, you know, tell me, pay this bill or whatever. Is this voice assistant going to come to banking, do you think?
I think it can, and it probably will. It's just, again, when, and making sure that you have all the protections in place. You know, we mentioned cybersecurity, and it's always about the protections, the regulations, the privacy, but it will eventually probably happen. You know, it's just, when does it become mainstream? It's certainly what, you know, the younger folks who are coming up, they want it. Everybody wants it. Yeah. We want that, and it's going to be the wave of the future, is everything voice-activated tech and now.
You mentioned security there. This on all of the lists I've seen about this year, what is coming 2018. This is on everybody's list of things. The cybersecurity and safety threat to our money still is one of the top risks.
It is. And, you know, back to your earlier point when you were talking about the tax reform and what do companies and certainly banks, you know, what does that mean to us and to the overall sector? I think that's where you'll probably see some of the money, you know, plowed back in, is on not eliminating, but trying to protect and reduce the cyber risk.
And it seems that it's off the front pages. It's off page 5, 10, 12. You can go into the newspaper. We don't hear anything more about this Equifax breach. That's still hanging out there.
It is still hanging out there. It's strange how it's kind of gone away. I mean, I think about it right on a personal front all the time, and have, you know, took actions. But it seems to have lost it's lost the front page news, but it'll be out there for a long time. We'll see where it rears its head again, you know, in the future, and just what is the impact of that? We still don't know.
And the regulatory part of the equation, too, as we look ahead, this is going to be a big year for a more regulation rollback. What's happened already that's good for banks like Associated?
So I don't think that there have been any actual rollbacks that have happened per se. What is good for banks like Associated and others is more of probably the tone and some of the appointments, you know, of those regulatory agencies. You know, what is the give and take going to be? I don't think any bank is going to roll back its what it does to protect, you know, its shareholders, its stakeholders, and its clients. But I think that the effect of it in terms of the costing for how many reviews you have and what the impact of that is what's probably going to change is more of the tone. You know, there's talk of the regulations changing, pulling back a little bit of the Dodd-Frank, but that, first off, it won't happen for quite a while. But if there's anything that could happen there that they roll some of that back, that could be good for the regional banks and the smaller banks especially. But that has a long tail on it. There's a lot of other things going on. You have the tax reform that we've talked about and some other bills that are out there. Those could all have really good positive impacts for the banks and the regional banks, but it's not in final form by any means.
Well, how would you describe it? Is it regulatory uncertainty or regulatory certainty? Because one of those is positive, one of them is negative. How do you view it?
I still think that there is regulatory uncertainty, you know, that we don't know exactly what will happen. We're positive on the thoughts, on the forethought of it, but I think it's still an uncertain action because, you know, back to the point I made, we can't get rid of them, we won't get rid of them, and they're there for good reasons. But there's still a lot of uncertainty of how it gets implemented and who it affects, you know, the large banks, the regional banks, the small banks, you know, and then ultimately to us, to the consumer, what is it that that happens and when? But it's still an uncertain.
Will 2018 be a year of a good M&A action, merger and acquisition action?
You know, it's, you know, with this tax bill, I, again, personally think that it might. We're seeing a little more activity in just in terms of people talking and deal flow. You know, the outlook from some of your, you know, your sponsors and your money on the sidelines says that they see a potential pickup here coming, you know, later this year in the M&A side of things. So I think so. But remembering that last year and even the year before, those were pretty low. So you have a low denominator to start with.
Rod, always good talking with you. And again, congratulations on your promotion. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Rod Murray is the now market president at Associated Bank, and he's our thought leader today. Remember, you can hear more thought leader conversations at WGNradio.com on the opening bell page. And that's, by the way, where we'll post more of our conversation with Rod. We're going to continue after the bell this morning. Also, go over to AssociatedBank.com / thought leadership, and you can learn more about the thought leaders there and listen to more conversations and follow them on Twitter @AssociatedBiz.